Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
The reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and that's page 178 of your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Do not forget the Lord. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God.
Thank you, Sue. Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole of it. Well, we're continuing on our sermon series, From Here to There. And this is the only sermon in the series in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, you may not be very interested in the book of Deuteronomy because it sounds, just the word, sound dull, doesn't it? But you should be interested in the book of Deuteronomy Why? Because Jesus was interested in the book of Deuteronomy. We know that because it was the book of Deuteronomy that Jesus was meditating on when he was spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. And we know that because when he was tested by the devil, he rebuffs the devil by quoting from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 6 and from Deuteronomy 8, the passage we just had read, where he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." And it's no coincidence that Jesus was meditating on the book of Deuteronomy because the book of Deuteronomy is this long, Tim Stafford calls it a long brooding sermon by Moses to the people of Israel, preparing them to go into the promised land. It's just on the cusp of in between the 40 years in the wilderness and them crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. Moses was not going to be going with them, and he was giving them his final sermon. It's actually three sermons, but the majority of it from chapter 5 to chapter 29 is one long sermon preparing the people. And Jesus was meditating on it during his 40 days in the wilderness, like their 40 years in the wilderness. And while he was preparing to go into his promised land, his public ministry. And so he meditated on Deuteronomy. There are two commands in Deuteronomy 8. And Deuteronomy 8 is like in the heart of this book. Two commands. They both start with the injunction, be careful. Be careful. In fact, it's something of a refrain that goes throughout the book. But there are two occasions in this chapter, two commands, one positive and one negative. So the first one, the positive one, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. Well, it's not exactly a command itself, is it? It's more of a gathering up of all the commands in the whole of Deuteronomy, which of course includes the Ten Commandments, because they're in Deuteronomy 6. And it includes, really, it's a summation of the entire law. Moses says, be careful to follow the whole lot. And the reason that Moses cites for following every command, if you like, the motivating force for them to keep going in obedience, is based on remembering what they've been through. They're looking forward to where they're going, and they're remembering what they've been through. First, look at the remembering. Remember how the Lord led you, Moses says. How he tested you. How he fed you with manna. How God disciplined you like only a father would. Now, we're so familiar with the concept of God as being our father, we skate over that, don't we? Forgetting just how radical a concept it was to think of Almighty God as a father. That was a completely new thing and totally foreign to most belief systems of the time. Indeed, it still is. If you go look at Islam, the idea of God as a father is an anathema to him. He is Almighty God. And yet here Moses is saying, remember how God disciplined you like a father. Remember how your clothes didn't wear out over 40 years. Remember, they clearly didn't buy them from Primark. Remember that despite walking in the desert, every day, week on week, month on month, year on year, for 40 years, your feet didn't swell up. Remember how God provided for you every step of the way. If you've been following the Go and Grow project, for those of you who are visiting us, our Go and Grow project is the project that we are ongoing to relocate our church from this building here in Woodside Park up onto the high road in North Finchley into a new building. And it's an extraordinarily challenging project, but it's been utterly amazing the way God has led us and provided for us every step of the way. And I've told a number of stories about the Go and Grow project publicly from here. And generally, the stories I've told have been the more spectacular ones. But there have been myriad of little things that have happened on the way. So, for instance, when we came to buy Solar House, because of government tax legislation, it was essential that the portion of the building that we were going to occupy, which is the south wing, about two-thirds of the building, it was essential that that was vacant and available to us. And likewise, the north wing, which is the bit that we're not going to occupy, it's superfluous for our requirements, we wanted the tenants to be in that. Now, the problem was that when we were negotiating to buy it, the south wing had tenants in the ground floor and the third floor. They were happily enjoying their office space in the portion that we needed to occupy. And so before we bought it, we had to negotiate with those tenants to move from the south wing into the north wing. And amazingly, both those tenants, the ground floor and the third floor, agreed to that. And still more amazingly, the then owners of Solar House agreed to wait for us to undertake these negotiations and get them moved. And it took quite a long time. It took about 9 months. And they just waited. Now, I mention this because it's not normal. You know, this was an extraordinary thing. You know, we kind of skate over it as part of our history, but actually, it was an amazing thing that happened. Those tenants agreed to move, and the owners agreed to wait. And we shouldn't forget the little things along the way that have happened. And that's just one example. There have been many examples of things that were intractable problems that somehow worked out. Yes, we have the big miracles, like the way Solar House came on the market at the instant that we found ourselves in a position to try and buy it. And that's a bit like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, the big miracles. But there were these other things on the way, that their feet didn't swell up, that their clothes didn't wear out. We need to remember our journey of faith, because that feeds our faith for the future, doesn't it? Moses was preparing the Israelites for the future and entreating them to continue to press into God, continue to obey God's commands. And he was doing so by reminding them of their journey so far. Corrie ten Boom says, memories are the key not to the past, but to the future. We build our future on our past. Moses was pleading for them to follow the commandments of God because of what had gone on before. But he wasn't just doing that. He was also saying, look forward to what's ahead. God was bringing them into a good land. an incredibly good land. It had brooks and streams. It had springs of gushing water. It had vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil. It had honey and loads of bread. That would have music to their ears after all those years of manna. They were going to have loads of bread. And they had iron and copper. Don't forget, we are just here on the cusp between the Bronze Age and the Iron Age. And they had both there. They had both in this amazing land. This land had everything. And Moses says, be careful to follow every command. For us at St. Barnabas, it is crucial that we pursue God and his purposes, his commands, his directing, his leading. It must be the utmost priority of our lives. It must be for us as a church. We must not step back from that. But if that's true of us as a church, it must also be true of us as individuals as well. You know, remember your story, your journey of faith, where you've come from, because it'll feed and encourage you and enable you to have faith for the next step. The second command. Let's move on to the second command. We had the first command, which was... what was it? I've lost it here. Be careful to follow every command. It's a summary of all the commands. Then the second command is be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Don't forget God. Don't forget him. Well, why would they forget God? It's a bit strange, isn't it? After all he's done for them, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt, all those miracles in the wilderness, and now they're going into the promised land with everything they could possibly want, with all that blessing that they're receiving. How would they possibly forget God when they're being blessed in such an amazing way? That's the point. That's the point. It is so often when we are blessed, when we are comfortable, when everything is going well, that we become self-reliant. And that means we forget God. We think we're doing fine by ourselves, thank you very much. We don't really have need for God anymore because it's all going okay. You know, the classic phrase that when everything has gone wrong and somebody says, all we can do now is pray. It's the last thing that you do. It's the last thing. You've done everything else and now you get to prayer. Well, the other way around of that is when everything's going well, we don't need God. We don't need to pray. We don't need to trust him. We don't need to have faith. Moses points to the future because he is concerned that when they get into the land, when they build their fine houses, when they have every conceivable comfort that they would want, that they might forget God. Haggai, one of the other prophets, makes a similar point in a very famous passage, which you probably know. Haggai 1. When the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains in ruin, referring to the temple? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but they are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. They can never have enough. This is the complete opposite of the clothes that don't wear out. This is the clothes that are never quite sufficient. You know, we have it all and we want more. Jesus likened this to in his parable of the sower, to the seed that was thrown amongst the thorns. And he said, the seed that's thrown amongst the thorns, it's like those who start following God, they hear the word of God, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word of God and make it unfruitful. The other stuff crowds in. Deuteronomy 8, verse 13 and 14. When your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. There is an uncomfortable truth that societies that enjoy affluence often abandon God. Is that not true of the UK? Isn't that true of Western Europe? You know, most of us here this morning, not all of us, but most of us are quite comfortable. Yes, we acknowledge that there is real poverty on our doorstep, and some people here in this room may be experiencing some of that. But for the majority of us, it's okay. We're quite comfortable. We've got our TVs and our phones and our cars. We take holidays, we leisure activities, warm clothes, food on the plate, homes to go back to, plenty of clothes. We don't really want for much. And people who don't feel any desperate need for God, any desperate need for anything, often don't feel a need for God. They fool themselves into thinking, I'm all right. I can manage on my own. I don't really need for anything. I don't even need for God. We probably wouldn't say that. But the way we live our lives out is the end result. After Moses had pointed to the future, he once more reminds them of their past. And this time, he reminds them not of so much of the miracles, but he reminds them of the struggles. Do you remember the vast and dreadful wilderness? Do you remember the waterless land and the terrible thirst? Do you remember the snakes and scorpions that were out there? Remembering the past, especially the struggles, but then seeing that God provided. We need to do that. We need to do that. Why is the Go and Grow story so faith-affirming? Because it's been so hard, actually. It's been a titanic struggle. This thing hasn't just happened. It's taken everything. And it's still hard to this day. We're still in the wilderness. We're still wandering around without swollen feet most of the time. And time again, we've seen God provide despite desperate difficulties. The key is to helping us to trust God for our future. Steve Jobs, who isn't often quoted in sermons, says this: "You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You will have to trust in something, your gut, your destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down. It has made all the difference in my life." Now, I'm not suggesting that we take everything that Steve Jobs says as gospel. But do you get what he's saying here? The idea is that when we look backwards, we see in our story the pattern of the divine, the dots joining up. And out of that, we have faith for the future, that just as the dots have lined up in the past, they will surely line up in the future, even though we can't necessarily see it. This is what Moses is saying. Jobs, of course, uses gut, destiny, life, karma, because he can't quite get hold of the idea that God is behind everything. But it's the equivalent. But whatever you do, don't come through this and say, "Whoa, we did it." You know, when we get to Solar House, when we move up there and we have an opening ceremony, do not allow me to say, "Yay, we did it." We didn't do it. We didn't do it. God did it. God did it. "Don't forget," says Moses. "Don't forget." And as I said earlier, if that is true for us as a church, it should also be true for all of us as individuals. And I look back over my life so far, and I'm still on the adventure. I see God everywhere. I see his hand involved in my life. Let me tell you an instance of that. There was a time way back before I was in church leadership, when I was still in the property business, when Jane and I had the opportunity to build our own house. And it was a fabulous opportunity, and we planned it out. We got planning permission, and we were set off building this house. It's going to be quite a large house, four bedrooms, two bathrooms. It had a farmhouse kitchen, and it had incredible views over the countryside off the back. Everything one could want. It was like the promised land. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And at the time, we were involved in planting a church in Harrow. But we were thinking of moving out into the countryside to this house. It would have been an incredible stretch for us financially, which would have meant that I would have had to keep working really hard in order to make ends meet. But as we prayed about moving to this house, we had disquiet in our spirits. And eventually we sensed God speaking to us and saying that we should not move to this house. And so we chose, rather than move, to stay near the church plant. And at the time, it was quite a costly decision for us. But the repercussions of that simple act of obedience are actually still resonating in my life today. Because not long after we made that decision and stayed in Harrow near the church plant, I was asked to take over leading that fledgling church plant that hadn't really fully taken off at that point. That led to me getting ordained, because I was now leading a Church of England church, and you're meant to be ordained to do that, apparently. Chris, take note. Rebellious? What was that about? Anyway, then the money we got from selling on the house that we built enabled me to buy my own house largely without debt. That in turn enabled me, when I came to St. Barnabas, to buy my own house over here, which in turn allowed my predecessor, John Coles, the vicar there, to remain in the vicarage here so he could go on leading new wine and they didn't need to find another house for him. And in turn, it means that Colin today is able to live in the vicarage. So I'm still living out the repercussions of a simple decision and act of obedience all that time ago. It just goes on. I look to my past, even the struggles, even the painful, the difficult decisions, and I think, wow, God provided. The dots join up, so I know the dots will join up in the future. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that I've got it all right. But I have found that when we pursue God in our lives, when we are careful to obey everything that He is showing us, everything that He is commanding us, it puts everything into its proper perspective. Whether we're in the season of the wilderness or whether we're in the land of plenty. And you may be in either of those right now. And in one sense, it makes no difference. Because if we're pursuing God, we will see Him care for us and look after us as a father and lead us forward and show us the path of life. Right now as a church, we are still in that wilderness phase. We're still in the struggles of trying to put together this extraordinary plan that we believe He's shown us. And it is a struggle. And yet we've seen every step of the way, we've seen Him provide for us. And just as those dots have joined up in the past, we know they're going to join up in the future. But when we get to Solar House and we've got so much room and we've got this extraordinary building and we've got all this incredible opportunity, at that point, there's going to be an incredible danger that we become proud. We think, look at us. St. Barnabas, how cool are we? And at that point, we're forgetting God, aren't we? We're forgetting God. That's what I think Deuteronomy 8 says. Incredible passage. Repercussions for our lives. You will know your own story. Moses says, join up the dots. Shall we pray? Let's stand, shall we? Lord, you have brought us this far in our lives. And each of our journeys is different. But many of us have been through years of struggle and wilderness and difficulties. And we just acknowledge the amazing way that you have brought us to where we are today. We praise you. We praise you for that as a church, and we praise you for that, each one of us as individuals. And as we look to the future, we commit ourselves to putting you first, to never forgetting you, to obeying your commands, to pursuing you in all things. Amen.